Amen. Did you come to praise the Lord today? Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. You do that with your voice. You know that, don't you? Can we praise the Lord with our voice so that He can hear you? Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you today, God. We magnify you, great God. You're holy and righteous, Lord. Glorify your name, Jesus. We worship you today, God. We are in your presence today, God. We come to lift you up, Jesus. My Lord, you're worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it changes the atmosphere when we let our prayer. You can be seated. Amen. Something changes in the atmosphere when our voices are heard. Amen. Praise God. You imagine just the children of Israel when they marched around the walls. Can you just imagine? You know, they were supposed to go around and in the last they were supposed to shout. Give a great shout. And they just walked around there and just went, "Hee-haw! Woo-hoo!" Not much would have happened. But when they said, "Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah!" That makes them, that changes the atmosphere. Praise God. See, God knows what He's doing. He created all this stuff. He understands it. He knows that there's power in what we say and what we project in our lives. And how you project it makes a huge difference. What you do when you worship, you can project faith, or you can just say, "God, I really don't want to be here." And how you project what you do with your voice. So remember that when you worship the Lord. You're speaking to God. You're telling Him what your attitude is when you want in His presence. So we can either be excited about Him, or we can just say, "God, just get away from me for now." You know, we got to live excited to be in the presence of the King of Kings. Okay, last week we were discussing the dreaded word of fasting. How many loves to fast? I didn't think so. Amen. I don't particularly care for the act of fasting, but I love what comes out of fasting. I love what God can do. It will blow your minds what God can do when you get serious about something that you need God to move in, and you want it more than anything in your life, and you go to fasting and praying about that situation, and somehow God does things that just blows your mind. You never dreamed He would do it that way. And God shows up, and He comes in and moves in the situation, and it changes your life. It changes the whole dynamics of the problem that you were facing. Well, that's what Esther, we ended off with Esther last week. Queen Esther had no clue when she came to the kingdom that the king that loved her, that picked her and chose her, was going to sign a decree saying that all the Jews were going to be wiped off the face of the earth. See, he was tricked, and he was tricked by Haman, and Haman had tricked him and made this decree that we're going to wipe them all out. And so it took Esther standing up for God. Amen. Because that's what her cousin had told her, that Mordecai, he said that, "Could it be that thou art brought to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Amen. And I ask you today, could it be that you're here in the kingdom for such a time as this that we're living in today? People that are dedicated and devoted to the work of God and to the kingdom of God, and you are determined to hold out to the end. You're going to stand with God all the way. Amen. Could it be today that God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this? And when you go into this area of fasting and prayer for this country and for this nation. Amen. You can break what is coming against this nation. Amen. And when we yield ourselves in fasting, why should we fast? Anybody? Give me some ideas of why we should fast. What does fasting do? Cleanses us of our spirit, okay. What's that? Cleanses the body, yeah. It's good medically and spiritually. What else? What was you saying? Makes us able for spiritual warfare. Anybody else? Put your body under subjection. Deny self. That's a good one. The focus on God gets it off of you. Denying self. That's important. That's where we're headed right now. Let's turn into 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all are familiar with this scripture, and it's a powerful scripture. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So we have to humble ourselves. Fasting causes you to be humble. Amen. Ain't too many people, when you fasted a couple of days, got a proudful spirit. Amen. It changes the outlook of your persona, who you present yourself as. It makes you weak in mind and spirit. And it'll change the outlook of why you're fasting. So many times we go into fasting, it's like, man, I'm gonna tackle this problem. But then God changes it around and says, here, you need to take care of this. I'm not happy with this. You need to get rid of that out of your life. And God helps and shows us that we need to go down so that he could be lifted up. Fasting is an expected discipline in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. They fasted in all areas. Moses fasted at least 2 recorded 40-day fasts. Moses was serious. He didn't mess around. Jesus fasted 40 days and reminded his followers to fast. So if Jesus needs to fast, don't we think we ought to fast? Amen. That is a perfect example. If the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, walking here on earth, needed to fast, then I think I need to fast. Amen. I've got to put my flesh aside and say, nope, you're not getting any food today, because I'm going to bring the presence of the Lord into this place. It brings restoration to our spirits. It brings the presence of God into our lives. Amen. And we become closer to God when we fast. Fasting and prayer can restore the loss of our first love. So many times we lose focus of where, when we came to God and we fell in love with Jesus, and now we're more mature in the Lord, and you know, we just kind of become numb to God because of life and all the things around us that are going on, and we just are existing. Fasting can restore that first love, that when we came into this thing, we were excited about the things of God, and we wanted to tell everybody about him. Amen. That fasting will bring that back into our lives. It heals and gives us an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what this whole plan was about, that God wanted to restore relationship with you and I. Amen. He wants to talk to you. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to be able to participate in dealing with life issues that you face. That's what God wants to do. And when we fast, we break ourselves so that He can be more closer to us. It's biblically a way to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves in the sight of God. Turn to Psalms 35 and 13. Is this not working back here? Psalms 35 and 13. It says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom." So it's a type of humbling. It's a type of putting ourselves down so that God can be exalted, so that God becomes first and foremost. Amen. Before that, food was first and foremost. When you wake up in the morning, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to eat in between? What am I going to snack on before I go to bed? What am I going to eat for supper? All those things is just reeling through our minds. And we're thinking about ourselves and thinking about how are we going to sustain, you know. Maybe I'll do Chick-fil-A today, or maybe I'll do this or that. And we're thinking of the yummies all through the day. And we are not focused on the Lord. But when we fast, we rid ourselves of all those wonderful treasures of life and say, no, today I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to let God be Lord in my life all day long. My mind's going to be on Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek Him. And so we humble ourselves so that God can be exalted. Ezra 8:21. It says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance." Amen. When we fast, we're trying to find the will of God, trying to find God's plan and direction in our lives. It's transformational. Amen. God will transform your thinking and give you new direction. Amen. When you can't figure out how to make your next step in life through the Word of God and through humbling yourself in a fast, God can begin to speak through you, to you through His Word, and it'll transform what you were planning on doing. It will change it. It'll make it just right. It enables us, fasting enables the Holy Ghost to reveal your true spiritual condition. Sometimes we go through it, man, we're thinking we're just bouncing off the walls for Jesus Christ. But like I said, God is not pleased with an area in our life and where we truly are. Maybe when we come here, we're running around the room, and we go home and we're down in the dumps. And God's trying to get us to be consistent spiritually every day with Jesus Christ. Every day walking with Him and having relationship with Him and having Him in our lives continually. It'll help us. These conditions cause us to be broken. Amen. The scripture says that a broken and contrite heart, God will not turn from. Amen. He will not turn from a broken and contrite heart. It brings repentance and It transforms lives. The Holy Ghost can quicken the Word of God in your heart, and His truth can become more meaningful to you. When you get out all the clutter of life and you're like I said, you're pushing back the plate, somehow the Word that you've been reading becomes more clear. And God brings things to your remembrance that was preached to you, or been, you've read it, and you've read that 16 times, and it's it, that time your fasting can just be enlightenment to you. It's transformational. So it would be wise to ask, you know, I had some questions after last week about, you know, what about medical conditions and stuff like that? Yes, be very mindful if you're in a medical situation where so ask a physician that you go to on a regular basis. Tell them you would like to do some fasting, and ask them to help you figure out how to do it. I don't want anybody to hurt themselves. But I do believe that as a body, as a whole, we need to come together and fast. Amen. I believe God is calling this church to a fast. And I believe He's wanting us to humble ourselves and draw ourselves closer to Him. And He's wanting to speak in our lives. So whatever it takes, take time. Take some time to ease yourself into fasting. Maybe you can begin with maybe a meal. Just starting a very small regimens of fasting. Maybe not even a full meal, just eat partial of a meal. Do that for several days and work yourself just like you would do any kind of conditioning with your body. You don't go out and just pick up the biggest weights in the weight room. You start with the very least, and you work yourself till you can withstand more weight. And then you move on to that, and you do that till you can withstand more weight. And it builds you up. Same with fasting. If you've never fasted for a long period of time, I'm talking day or 2 days or 3 days, then start with, like I said, a half a meal. Take your portions down. You're telling God, I'm serious about humbling myself before you. Amen. And you can work yourself to where God wants you to be. And you can make that happen. Like I said, talk to your physician. Talk to them about fasting. Make sure that the medicine you're on is, you know, if you're on certain medicines, that how to work through that. They will help you. They will. A lot of people fast today for health reasons. That's a quick way to lose weight nowadays. They do sporadic fasting. Well, the doctors know and they understand. They may not understand spiritually why you do it, but they understand physically why you need to fast. So just figure out what types of fast are right for you. But the whole purpose of the whole thing is I want to get closer to God, and I want to hear the voice of God. I've got loved ones that I've been praying for, that I've been asking God to heal, that I've been asking God to deliver, and I'm not seeing it. I'm telling you, when you begin to fast and you begin to pray, God will do a miracle in your situation. Amen. Fasting grabs the heart of God, and He will show up, and He will work on your behalf. He will change you as well. Amen. God will change you. So Daniel, he did partial fast. He was, you know, he just ate vegetables in his fast. Daniel, the water fast seemed to be the custom of the prophet. There was 3-week period in which he only abstained from delicacies, meat and wine. So Daniel fasted, but it wasn't a complete fast. There are different types of fast. But what I've been talking about here is if you have fasted, amen, there needs to be a period of time that you are completely fasting. Amen. Because you're going to get a hold of God. Amen. You can do this. You can find your way to a complete fast and see the power of God move in this church. Amen. Look around. I mean, there's a lot of people out because of vacation and all this stuff. But when everybody's here, there's a half a church because all of us like to sit on this side, and I can tell this whole side's empty. But we have got to get God's attention and say, God, we need you, and we want to grow. We want to see lives changed. We're living in the end days, and God, you've got to speak to us. There's all kinds of sickness all around us right now. Lord, we need you to direct us through this trying time right now. Amen. Our nation needs a church that will get on their knees and fast and pray. We're living in wicked times. The nation, the politics of this world is wicked. And we as the church can change the course of our nation. Bible, he said it, if my people, we're the people of God. It's not the church down the road that believes in three. We're the people of his name. We are called by his name. Amen. It's up to us to fast, to seek the face of God, to have God open the eyes of the Trinitarian so that they can get on board and pray with us. Amen. The two primary types mentioned in the Bible are absolute and super absolute fasting. These are total fast, no food, solid or liquid, and no water. Paul went on an absolute fast for 3 days following his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was desperate to have God do what he is calling him to do. God revealed himself to him. Now he wanted to receive. Two, he was blinded. He wanted his sight back. But most of all, he wanted to be righteous. He loved God. He loved the Lord. He was serving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. What he was doing, he thought was righteous before God. He thought he was doing God a service. But God had to reveal truth to him. And he struck him off of his high horse and put him on the ground. That's what we do when we fast. We put ourselves on the ground and say, God, we've got to have your attention. We've got to have you move on our behalf in our lives. When it comes to making our final decision about what type of fast is right for you, the best advice I can give you is follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Follow what God is calling you to do. He will guide your heart. Amen. He'll guide your mind. And he'll help you do what is best for you. Amen. Remember, the most important consideration in fasting is your motive. Why are you fasting? What is your purpose? Is it to seek something personally from God's hand, or is it to seek his face in worship, praise, and thanksgiving? Why are you fasting? How do we prepare ourselves spiritually. Amen. We need to be spiritually ready to fast. Psalms 66 in verse 16 through 20. It says, "Come and hear, all of you who reverence the Lord, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried to him for help, with praise ready on my tongue. He would not have listened if I had not confessed my sins, but he listened. He heard my prayer. He paid attention to it. Blessed be God, who didn't turn away when I was praying and didn't refuse me his kindness and love." How many of us need God to show his kindness and love in our lives? Amen. You need God to do a miracle. Amen. How many of you have a loved one that you want to see in the house of God today? Amen. Every one of us here have somebody that we don't want to see in hell's gates. Amen. We want to see them living for Jesus Christ, walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. And they are bound in sin. They're bound in their own minds. And the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, when we get a hold of God and when we sincerely seek after him and we fast and we believe, God can shake their world and he can turn their lives toward him. So in preparation for this special time with God, I strongly urge you to examine your heart. Look within. Detect any unconfessed sin. Ask the Lord to search your heart like David did. Search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Bring it to my attention, Lord. The scripture records that God always requires his people to repent of their sins before he will hear their prayers. So get in that closet. Get in that prayer closet when you fast and say, "God, first and foremost of all, I ask you to search my heart. Look into the closets. Look into the corners of my life, God. If there's anything there that's not pleasing to you, reveal that to me and let me get that out of my spirit and out of my heart. I can't go forward. You can't go forward without God doing that for you, remitting those sins out of your life. Call the name of Jesus over your life. Ask God forgiveness to cover those sins. Amen. And God will, the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin. Amen. Sin is what separates us from God. Amen. And sometimes we don't realize that God, we've done something that hurts the heart of God. And God can reveal that while you fast. So in your prayers, confession, not only of obvious sins, but less obvious ones as well. Amen? Maybe you're pretty harsh when you talk to somebody, and you just haven't admitted it, but you know you do it. You know? So maybe there's some things that you're just not willing to lay down. And you can say, "God, reveal me. Open up my life. Let it be an open book before you." There are the sins of omission as well as the sins of commission. These may be experiences leaving your first love for our Lord, worldly mindedness, self-centeredness, spiritual indifference, and unwillingness to share your faith in Christ with others. Not spending sufficient time in God's word. And say, "God, am I lacking in any of those areas?" Because all these areas matter to God. Amen. The scripture says, love your neighbor, what? As yourself. Those are the first, most important commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. He says, put all the law and the prophets on these two. Everything you do, these are important. And so it matters to God if you have relationship with all those that I just mentioned. And not only, you know, you can have a bad relationship with those individuals, but you need a good relationship with them, one that God is pleased with. Amen? So make sure your relationship in those areas are in good working order so that God can be pleased. Amen? God's not going to go to bat for you if you can't get your own spirit right. There's some things that we just got to do. There's some things that we have to realize do not please the Lord. And we have to get on the ball and fix and get those things out of our lives. Because God becomes stalemate. He wants to move. He's longing to move. But you refuse to change. You refuse to do what God is calling you to do. It's spiritual breathing. Spiritual breathing is the process of exhaling the impure and inhaling the pure. Philippians talks about thinking on good things. If there's anything praiseworthy, excellence, think on these things. We've got to have a pure heart. We've got to have a heart that is seeking the things of God. The scripture in Romans talks about being carnally minded. We've got to stop being carnally minded. Carnally minded is thinking about all the things going on in the world and not thinking a thing about God and what God wants us to do in this world. That's crazy. We got to begin to get into the scripture and read what God would have us to do in these trying times and not listen to the news media, not listen to everything that comes across what's that box they call it in your living room that opens up gateways of the spiritual into your home. Television, I think they call it. Amen. Remember a while back I preached on it opens up avenues of demonic spirits to come through, and that wasn't from me or any spiritual person that I know telling me that. It was from people that worked on the Hollywood scene saying those things. People that wrote movies and built movies and done all those things, they began to research and seeing what was happening through TV. The portals. That's the word I was looking for. Portals. Avenues of spiritual demonicness to come into our home, and we don't even realize it. Subliminally, they slip in unawares because we have that avenue flowing in our home. So we can breathe pureness in, or we can breathe in unpureness. It's a choice that we make in our lives. What are we listening to? What are we hearing? What are we collecting in our minds? What are we thinking about during our day? Are these pure thoughts, or are these unpure thoughts? Are these about God, or are they about the whole world and what's going on? We choose what air we breathe. Amen? You exhale by confessing your sins immediately when you become aware of them. That's why the cross is so beautiful. Because when I sin, I have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I can call upon the name of the Lord and ask his forgiveness over my sin, and that blood covers it. and he won't remember it no more. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. So as an act of faith, trust him to empower you. Believe God that he will give you power to overcome sin. During the fast, spiritual breathing is a constant reliance on the Holy Ghost. Amen. It will enable you to resist temptation, not only to sin, but to abandon to your fast. How many of you have been on a fast and you're so tempted to just go get something to eat? I've heard stories. One pastor told me one time, he said there was this person that had, they were just having a hard time with this fast, and they had a pack of hot dogs sitting in the refrigerator. And that fella got so tempted to eat, went in there, grabbed one of those hot dogs out, grabbed it in his mouth, sucked the juice off of it, stuck it back in the pack. Sometimes fasting's hard, and you're so tempted every time you fast. Almost 99.9%. Somebody's going to bring something to work that's really yummy and say, here, you want some donuts? Like, for 10 years you haven't brought a donut to work, and I go on a fast and you bring a donut. Or they'll invite you to lunch. So you'll be tempted when you fast to stop fasting. But you can endure. And you, there's been times I just had to tell people, no, I'm fasting. I know the scripture, you know, says not to you know, wash your face, make sure you're, but I think there's times that you can just say, I'm just not eating right now, I'm fasting. And that's it. It's all you need to, don't expound on it, just say I'm fasting. They understand. And just go on. So though also fasting is primarily a spiritual discipline, it begins in the physical realm. We got to do it. It's flesh thing. You got to overcome your flesh, just like you do with sin. Amen. You just got to say, I'm going to do this because I want God. I want closer to God. I want to be more in tune with the Spirit of God. So don't do it without specific physical preparation, though. Prepare yourself to fast. If you're used to eating 4 bags of potato chips all week and 6 bags of candy and you know, a Snickers and a chocolate milk between all the meals that you eat, then maybe you ought to try stopping some of the stuff that you've been consuming that is really tasteful and just eat the meal for a time period. And then, like I said, work yourself off of what you're used to having, because those cravings will come at you like a beast if you try it all cold turkey. And you can put it aside and say, no, I'm gonna cut this out so that I can ready myself, because I want to go on a full fast. It's growing up in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says sometimes we put away childish things and we become more mature in our minds to do the things of God. We are warriors. God didn't call wimps to the kingdom of God. This is an army of believers. We're in a fight, a battle, and we are going to win the battle. And God has, he believes in you to see you through the battle. And if you'll take up this powerful tool, you're gonna see some victories. You're gonna see God come through and meet some needs that you've been praying for years. And it's going to change your life. You're going to be excited when you see your loved ones standing in this altar, lifting up their hands, talking in tongues, praising God, giving glory to God, worshiping God with all their heart, visiting, talking to other people, telling them they need this too. That's what I'm talking about. Fasting will bring those type things in our life. And we can see the miraculous. God will use you to heal people. Amen. He'll use you to pray for people and His Spirit touch their lives in healing, deliverance. Amen. Come. Jesus said it. These kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Amen. If Jesus said it, then I believe it. If Jesus did it, then I need to do it too. Praise God. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. God, help us today, Lord. God, I want to see spiritual victory in this church, Lord God, in this body. Lord, there are people that are trying their best to live for you, God. But Lord, they get hung up, Lord, and we can be as the church together, binding together in one mind and one accord to see the power of the Holy Ghost begin to change and move in the hearts of people, Lord. God, you can bring back that one that is wayward, that is not where they need to be in you, God. And Lord Jesus, through fasting, we can lift up your name. God, you can touch our nation and you can touch our counties and our local cities, Lord God. God, to do your perfect will, Lord, if we'll just call upon you and fast and seek your face. God, you said it. You said then you would hear from heaven and then you would heal our land. God, you've promised it. So let us follow your example and fast and believe in you for mighty things. Help us. Help us to determine this week, God, to do something in the area of fasting in our lives. God, that we can be blessed and we can draw close to you. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Take some time. Go downstairs and refresh.